Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Here's What I Think. Musings from two Anabaptist pastors, educators, Christ followers. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller.
So, Jeremy, just last night, I was scrolling through on my Facebook feed something that, I don't know, I found myself almost doing it more these days because of the coronavirus than before.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here I stumbled across something that an old friend from about 10 years ago posted. And the subject of the post, the line, the opening line said, "Quick, read this before they take it down."
Yes.
Well, I was intrigued. I wanted to see what I should read. Judging from your experience on Facebook, Jeremy, what type of article or claim do you think this particular post was talking about?
At the risk of, well, I'm not trying to offend anybody who might be listening, but, you know, my gut instinct is I had better read that for the absolute truth that I know is going to be buried in that commentary. No, it elicits an enormous eye roll, and actually some strange curiosity to know what sort of snake oil I might find being peddled in the article. I have no idea. Was it just recently? Like, I mean, it would, the article wasn't from 10 years ago.
It was something that was
for
just,
today.
Yes, it was about today.
Oh, man. Probably. Oh, I have no idea, Matt. I can only imagine.
Well, no, I mean, you use the term snake oil, and you're probably right. That's probably a good way of talking about it. But yeah, I mean, it was one of these forewords that was peddling a brand of conspiracy to explain the world that we're living in today.
Right.
Now,
right.
The world that we're living in today is very different. Yeah. It's kind of strange. We're in the middle of sort of this pandemic with COVID-19. And so we're looking for ways to explain.
That's right.
What in the world is going on? Why is the world so crazy? And I think because of that, all of a sudden, it's opened up just a trove of things that conspiracy theorists, have a heyday with.
Yeah. Whenever we can't explain something very well and we're not sure what's happening, we jump to, at least we tend to, as people, jump to conclusions that maybe fit with worldviews that pit all kinds. I can't count the number of Facebook posts about Bill Gates and and his quest to create a smaller population of humans. And, you know, who knows? Those things aren't founded in any kind of real, verified truth. And it's a pretty dangerous thing. And recently, Ed Stetzer came out with an article in Christianity Today, which is kind of the basis for our conversation about the dangers of especially followers of Christ buying into these conspiracy theories, and not just buying into them, but actively spreading them.
The title of the article is "Gullibility is Not a Spiritual Gift," and let me just read the opening couple lines, and let me ask you a question.
Okay,
Jerry. He says, he opens the article just by saying, and this is specifically talking about Christians who spread sort of coronavirus-related conspiracies, is what he's talking about. He says, "A major crisis provides a fertile field for producing conspiracy theories, and the current global pandemic has created a bumper crop of them. One of the sad things that I've learned over time," Ed Stetzer says, "is how Christians are disproportionately fooled by conspiracy theories."
Yeah.
So I guess my first question is, why do you think this is the case?
Well, admittedly, You know, I'm as frustrated often with major news outlets as the next Christian. I have often felt like they don't treat stories fairly, and they come with they do stories from perspectives and with assumptions that I don't carry, right? So their stories focus on things that I don't necessarily focus on, and they focus on them from a position and with assumptions that I don't carry. So then the story turns out in ways, the truth that they want to get at is different than the truth that I would want to get at.
Mm.
And so that breeds a kind of mistrust internally. What I have tried to do to counter that is read news more widely, rather than just simply mistrusting and creating my own version of the truth. Because there's truth there, but you have to get at it from different angles to find it. But I think what a lot of Christians do instead, and this is a long, convoluted way of getting to this point, but what a lot of Christians do is instead of doing the hard work of trying to discern what's true, we create odd explanations that fit our narrative but don't require hard work and don't require careful discernment. And it's easier then to believe these sort of vast conspiratorial ideas than it is to do the hard work of discernment.
Mm.
And that's where I think a lot of Christians get in trouble.
I think that word discernment is really, really key, because you're right. I mean, so many of the times that I read something in the news, I know that in some very fundamental ways, I disagree with the perspective of whoever's writing the article, whether it's right, whether it's left, wherever they're coming from.
Right.
And I'm part of, so to bring, let's bring faith into the mix. I'm part of a Christian community that already sees itself in some way, or should see itself as outsiders to a certain degree. And so I gravitate towards things that maybe don't just speak the given narrative of the day.
That's right.
I believe in some crazy things that other
that Jesus rose from the dead.
Exactly.
I mean, that's wild.
I actually believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, which is absurd, really, to most people. And it is absurd, apart from, I also have a foundational belief in the miraculous, in the supernatural. So these things are already the things that I value as a Christian, I believe in as a Christian.
Right.
And so I already know that I'm at odds
with
a lot of people that are saying things and doing things. And I think that's part of what makes the Christians, in particular, as Ed Stetzer talks about it here, susceptible to things that are outside of the given narrative and that tend towards conspiratorial.
I think that's a great point. We're already, like you mentioned, outside the given narrative, and so, we just kind of continue so often believing things outside, even when they are completely loony.
Yeah.
Yeah, with no sort of grounded evidence in it. And I, there is evidence for the resurrection. That's not unfounded,
absolutely,
but it still takes faith to believe it, and we understand that. But that doesn't mean the entire world sort of works off of, or that our entire worldview can be shaped by odd ideas about the truth.
Yeah. So maybe a good question then is, so how do we make sure that as Christians we aren't necessarily just pulled into the given narrative, but also that we aren't duped by these other narratives that are just false, are just wrong?
So Ed Stetzer also wrote an article several years ago during the 2015-16 presidential campaign, and Christians were believing just incredible conspiracy theories during that time. And one of the things he pointed out in that article that I thought was really helpful, true, and important for us to get, he quoted John Wesley, who wrote this. John Wesley described bearing false witness as speaking falsely in any manner, including that which speaks unjustly against our neighbor to the prejudice of his reputation. And I think one of the big problems is that in the name of politics, Christians have thrown out God's commands to us for the way that we treat other people, including our enemies. And so in the Christian haste to discredit Hillary, in many people anyway, there were incredible accusations made and propagated throughout the culture that actually bore false witness against somebody. And because it was in the name of politics, I don't think many Christians thought of it as gravely immoral to do that.
Yeah, this bearing false witness thing that he talks about really struck me as well. Yeah. Well, it reminded me of James, where James talks about the power of the tongue and how this is, it's sort of a, you know, he talks about it as a fire that consumes. And I don't think, like, when it comes to something like Facebook or email forwards, and you know, we don't talk about email forwards anymore very much, but I was sitting, this is probably 15 years ago now, I think, I was sitting in a church that I won't name, listening to a preacher who I won't name, and he said, he had this point where he came to in his sermon where I think the point of the sermon was I think it was a sermon on hell and proving the existence of hell. And he said, I came across this story of Russian scientists. Now, immediately, when you hear the term Russian scientists, some red flags should go up if you're sort of a discerning reader. It's hard to verify what's going on. It's hard, you know. Anyway.
Lesson number one, when somebody starts with Russian scientists.
There should be red flags.
Red flags.
And he talked about this project that they had where they were drilling a hole into the earth that was deeper than any hole that had ever been dug into the earth's crust. And they got down to a certain point which was deeper than anyone had ever gone in the earth's crust before. And when they kind of opened up the lid to the hole, they heard screams. They heard people screaming. And this was proof of not just the existence of hell, Jeremy, but that hell existed in the middle of the earth.
Huh.
And I went home, I remember, and the internet was new at that time, but the internet did exist, and it didn't take me but, you know, one or two searches to find this story elsewhere and to see that it was totally a myth, totally debunked. But it was shared by the preacher to the congregation, and I don't know how much it was perpetuated from there. Yeah. Because it was coming from someone who people trusted. And he's a good guy. Yeah. Like, I to this day, I know who it is, and he's a good, godly man. But that's where Ed Stetzer's point about false witness really kind of struck home with me. I think Now, for preachers and teachers, for teachers especially, the Bible talks about being very careful about what you say and being held account for these things, for preachers as well. But I think just for Christians in general, when you go to forward something, when you go to post something on your Facebook feed, for example, it is very important to make sure that what you're posting is true, or else I would tend to agree with what Ed Stetzer is saying here, that we are falling into the trap of bearing false witness.
Yeah. I don't think we understand oftentimes, or we forget, that God cares deeply about this, because mistruth or untruth harms other people. It's not a sort of a neutral thing. And again, we have these categories of places where we feel like it's okay to be, you know, well, if it's not right, it's not a big deal.
Mm.
And the truth is that if it's not right, it does hurt people, particularly when it's a rumor about somebody or it's an accusation about somebody. That is slander. even if it's on social media.
Absolutely. And the other piece of the puzzle, too, is the fact that it just really, it damages our credibility.
Well, that's a huge one.
And our witnesses for Christ. Because we already, like we said at the beginning, we already believe a set of things that are absurd.
Or seem absurd.
Or seem, yeah, I shouldn't say are, but yeah, no, I believe this stuff. That seem absurd. The resurrection, the, you know, these elements of, you know, the virgin birth, for
the
example.
The gift of the Holy Spirit living within us.
These things that, yeah, they seem absurd. And then when we also peddle stories like, well, Russian scientists are drilling holes into the earth and finding hell. Well, all of a sudden, that puts that claim on the same level with my claim that Jesus rose from the dead. And if this one's easy to debunk, the Russian scientists, well then, I probably can't take Matt's word for the resurrection either.
Yeah, why would I? Why would I trust you on that when you're running around screaming weird things?
Yeah.
If you're a non-believer and you're listening to this and you're watching Christians respond and you're watching the things they say, then when Christians aren't careful, it really speaks loudly to discredit our major claims, which are in fact true. And so it's critical for Christians on a number of levels to be really careful.
In his article, he references a tweet by Austin Jones that says, "Last week, my Facebook feed was full of people posting crazy COVID conspiracy theories, followed by posts that evidence for the resurrection. I don't think they realize the message they're actually sending."
Mm-hmm.
And I think more than anything, that is something that we really need to be wary about of Christians, of making sure that the things we post, the things we say, don't hurt the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
And that they are, you know, they don't hurt our credibility as Christians.
Now, I think it is, a discerning person will want to push out areas of question. Like, I don't think we have to take wholesale what we're being told through, through experts. I don't think that discernment means a lack of critical thinking, or we have to take experts' words for what's happening in our world. But it does mean that we're thorough and careful,
mm-hmm.
more thorough and careful, and we're not quick to jump to conclusions or advocate for conclusions that fly in the face of what people who study these complex things actually think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, it doesn't mean they're wrong. It doesn't mean that there aren't, in fact, conspiracies in our world. It does mean, as Christians, that we are way slower to promote them publicly, and we are incredibly careful and discerning with how we process or question those things.
Let's talk about advice maybe now a little bit, Jeremy. Let's say that someone sends you or posts something, a friend of yours posts something on Facebook that, you know, is clearly sort of just conspiratorial and wrong. What should I do?
That's a good question. How confrontational are you? No, I mean, if it's a close friend, I would question them privately.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps depending on the situation, if it's a moderately close friend, I would question them privately. If it's somebody who isn't, I'm more hesitant to engage that stuff. I'm assuming that at some point they'll figure out that whatever it is they're believing is pretty inaccurate. But I don't know if that's the right way to handle it. That's how I've done it so far.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to be pretty careful about confronting people that I know only on a...
Just marginally.
Marginally on Facebook.
So let's say you get a forward that you think that really resonates with you, but that is outside the given narrative. What do you do?
Yeah, well, so this happened to me. I remember one time I got an email forward about how Obama was burning Bibles in Afghanistan. He mm-hmm. was And I remember thinking, huh?
Wait a second.
And so this obviously had been flying around in different circles. And so I went and just started reading up on, well, lo and behold, there were some explanations for what was happening that didn't involve the eradication of the Christian faith. And anyway, there was a lot about the article that was just completely inaccurate. I compiled those things and just sent a note back and saying, I think there's another side to this story. Mm-hmm. Here's evidence of what has actually happened over there. And the person I sent it to was agreeable to it, to what I was saying.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and I think it's something that I think as Christians we always need to be. So, like when I read, no matter how much I agree with the narrative that someone is peddling, I think we need to also try to see things from the point of view of people that would disagree with that narrative.
That's right. Yeah.
And if we can't do that, if you find yourself saying, well, I just can't understand how anyone would not believe this way, knowing full well there's lots of people who don't believe that way, well, you need to do some thinking and reading in terms hearing from voices that don't think the way that you think.
Matt, I'd like to make one more comment about that specifically. One of the real problems in the Christian community is that it's so often an all or nothing thing for so many people I know. Truth is,
yeah.
Right? So if it comes from somebody they don't agree with or that doesn't agree with believers, then anything they say is full of hogwash and lies. When the reality is that often what Satan does is not create one giant lie, but Satan takes truth and twists it. And for Christians, it's really important to understand that. So when we hear something or hear a critique or hear an idea, there's generally a nugget of truth that if we can work hard at identifying that, then we can start to see where the twisting happens. But so many believers will just throw the whole thing out and then, in essence, believe a very different lie because they're not willing to actually search for the truth. Non-believers have truth for us. You have to look for it, and you have to discern it. It's there all over the world.
And there's such strong and clear admonition in Scripture for digging in, for seeking the truth.
That's right.
For trying to for study, for reading. I think when I read any book, I don't know that I've ever read a book that I just 100% agreed with everything that the author was saying.
Right.
You know, I'll read a couple pages and think, man, this is dead on. Wow, I love this. And then I flip the page and I'm like, well, wait a second. No, I think he took this too far.
Right.
And I think we always have to, whatever we read, whatever we're into at the moment, we need to be discerning about it and thoughtful.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's when we start to be able to discern some of these things more helpfully.
Yeah,
is when we're not coming to it with such a like all or nothing attitude. When we realize there's truth in places that we might not realize or want to believe there's truth in.
Yeah. When it comes to this, coronavirus and some of the conspiracy theories that you might be hearing peddled at the time.
Have mercy.
Ed Stetzer offers a helpful website that actually Christianity Today has put out there. It's called coronavirusandthechurch.com. So if you come across a foreword or come across a theory or something that you are not sure about, I'd encourage you to go on over to coronavirusandthechurch.com and check it out. And they're trying to kind of keep tabs on, you know, what's being said that's right, what's being said that's wrong, and keep people from falling into the trap of really peddling things that are false in the church today.
Amen. We need more of that.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, we certainly haven't got to the bottom of this whole thing, Jeremy, but hopefully at least it's allowed people to, I don't know, think twice before they just grasp at something that they're hearing that may or may not be right. Do some research, have some discernment in these days. That's what I think. So I think we'll wrap it up here for this particular episode. I'm Matt Showalter.
And I'm Jeremy Miller. We'll see you next time.